On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, we review the top left-handed relief pitchers available on the market this winter. Just kidding. World Series Game 3 went 18 innings. We were there. We saw all of it with our eyes. We're going to talk about it in great detail. It's 1:46 a.m. Have a great listen, everybody. Hello. Welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world recording at Dodger Stadium at 12:45 a.m. after one of the most adjective games in World Series history. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know that tonight got a little wonky, and we are going to match that energy. Jordan, you are in the upper deck on the left field line. I am in a dungeon somewhere in Dodger Stadium. And we have 18 innings of ball to talk about.
We sure do, my friend. We sure do. 6 years ago, sorry, 7 years ago, when we were working at MLB, we had the pleasure of live streaming Game 3 of the 2018 World Series. Now, we had predetermined that we were going to do that. And at the time, it was like, oh, this will be fun. You'll just show Jake and Jordan reacting to the World Series. And who knows what'll happen in this game. And we ended up watching 18 innings live, uninterrupted, no commercials, maybe one bathroom break. This time, here we are again, a Game 3 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium. And we were here. And we watched it. And now we are going to attempt to talk about it in podcast form and write about it in written form after that. Jake Mintz, Freddie Freeman hit another walk-off home run in the World Series. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw it. I haven't watched it back yet, which is kind of nuts, right? Maybe we'll do a live rewatch here. I've not seen it on video, is I guess how I would say it. I don't know what pitch it was thrown. I don't know where it was. I only know that Freddie swung really hard and the ball went over the center field fence. And then everyone lost their collective minds. That is the end of this story. And the way that this podcast is going to work is we're just going to go. We're going to start at the beginning. This game, in my mind, was really three games, right? It was, oh my God, Shohei Ohtani. It was, wait a second, we're going to be here forever. And then it was, Freddie Freeman is letting us go to sleep. And so let's begin in the first inning. Does that work for you?
I suppose. All right, before we get loopy, let's get into it. It's our opener.
This show rules, right, dude. How did it begin tonight with a George Springer strikeout? I just remembered that George Springer got hurt in this game. I said too. We were going to start in the first inning.
We're sitting in the post game presser with John Schneider, and obviously we're all asking questions like, man, you know, how tough is that? You know, blah, all the things about bouncing back and like, what was the key moment? What was the key decision? Pitching to Ohtani? Oh my God, all these things. And then like, we're wrapping up and then someone's like, hey, is George Springer okay? Remember when like coming into this game, George Springer was going to be this main character for so many reasons. And he ends up exiting in the seventh, top of the seventh is when George Springer leaves the game. So a lot happened before then, which we can go over some of it. But yeah, like George Springer facing Tyler Glasnow. Yeah. Tyler Glasnow and Max Scherzer end up just descending into truly minor characters in this game, but those were our two starting pitchers.
I had that experience as well. Tyler Glasnow in the Dodger locker room walked out of the shower into his locker, and I was like, oh, Glasnow would have like a great perspective on this wild game. He's a good talker and funny and smart. I'll just see what he has to say. And as I was walking over there, I was like, oh, wait, he started this game. I had totally forgotten. So he gets the Blue Jays 1-2-3 in the first. Ohtani leads off the second with a double, a ground rule double, and is stranded. And at the time, we're like, oh, Ohtani double. But that double is sneaky important for Ohtani's final crisp stat line, which we will get to. First run is in the bottom of the second. Teoscar Hernandez goes yard off of Max Scherzer on a slider that Scherzer leaves in the middle of the plate. Teo pulls it deep and gone to left field. Otani, anything here? Yeah, go ahead.
Otani's ground rule double to start the game. Hardest hit ball of the entire night.
By any player.
By any player. No one hit a ball harder than that after Otani's ground rule double to lead off the first inning 17 hours ago. Anyway, continue. Yes, Teo gets them on the board.
And then Otani pads the lead. He goes yard in the top of the third. This was the one where bottom of the third, Max Scherzer's hubris got in the way, where Scherzer went
womp
above the strike zone to Otani on a 1-0 count and somehow blew one by him at like 94. And it was like, wow, survived that one. And then he went back there again. And even though it was off the plate inside under his hands, Otani did not care. He turned on it and ripped it into the right field bullpen. 2-0 Dodgers. And at this point, you're like, these guys are just going to roll. Max Scherzer is not going to have it. But Scherzer gets them back out of that inning. And in the fourth, the Blue Jays pounce, scoring four of their five runs on the evening. We get a walk. We get what really, besides the Freddie homer, I feel like is the key play of this game.
Absurd sentence. I was going to start this whole podcast by like kind of reflecting philosophically on the concept of key moment of the game because there was 100 of them. There was like, that was it. That was the one that we're going to be talking about.
I'd like to make my pitch for this, for the Tommy Edman error in the fourth. Okay. Runner on first, nobody out. Runner on first, nobody out. Dodgers up 2-0. Vlad's on first. Bo Bichette hits a little chopper to Tommy Edman's left, and Tommy Edman just misses it. It would have been an easy double play ball because Bo Bichette can't really run right now because he's hurt. Would have been two outs, end of the inning. But that error, it opens the floodgates. That is the opening of Pandora's wonky box, because before that moment, things were normal. It was a normal playoff game.
Mm.
And that was the first thing happened where it was like, there may be some spirits in the air tonight. There may be some, you know, evil magic afoot.
Especially Bo reaching on an error to the second baseman. There was something also kind of like, how's Bo going to be able to handle second base? Right.
Legging one out. Like, it was just that to me felt like, because if that gets turned, then the Dodgers are just on their path, right?
Yeah, and here's the other thing. We also skip past one of the I actually disagree, because the real moment happened. We flew right past it because it was way earlier. When Bo Bichette gets picked off early in the game because he thinks that Dalton Varsho walked. And Dalton Varsho thought he walked. It was a bad call from Mark Wegner. Mark Wegner delayed strike call, and so everyone just assumes it was ball four. And then Bo's just standing there between the bases, and Tyler Glasnow throws it over. This felt like, okay, here's some karmic, balancing out where Bo's just going to reach on an error here after getting thrown out. The first of, I think, six or seven outs on the bases tonight. I lost track. There were so many toot plans. But anyway, I do agree though that when Kirk hits that home run. Sorry, Blue Jays came to play. And at that point, I felt we were going to settle into a slugfest. That's the other funny thing in retrospect, right? It was like, oh, we're gonna be going back. This is going to be 12 to 11. And just whoever's going to be left.
Yeah.
And that's actually not what happened. I don't know if you kept watching, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a great reminder that we know nothing at all, right? Like, are moments, you're good at this, where like you can feel out a game. You'd be like, oh, that guy's going to do this here. Oh, this is how it's going to play out. Like, I did text someone before the game, Max Scherzer, final line, 4 1/3, 2 runs. And he went 4 1/3 and then allowed, I guess, an inherited runner scored, so it was 3 runs. But at that moment, I was like, I'm feeling good about myself. Like, I know ball. Like, I know how this is going to play out.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that is never the case. The ball is structured in a way that avoids any predictability. So yes, Alejandro Kirk, after that error where Bobichet reaches, three-run blast to dead center field. Place goes like pretty silent. One of the fun things is when the visiting team in a playoff game has a big moment, you immediately know where all the family members are sitting.
So good. Because, 100%.
And it's especially here, the colors are the same. Like, I don't ever want to hear the words Dodger blue again, because it's just Blue Jay blue. It's the same blue. You know, maybe some graphic designer can email us and let me know the hex code for both. But they look, from our eye, identical in the crowd, right? And so you're just like, they're all Dodger fans. It's a little different when it's like the Orioles are hosting the Royals last year. Like, you know where the Royals family members are, right? Because they're standing out. But here, Kirko's yard, and you're like, there is like Kevin Gossman's child and wife. Like, you, it just sticks out and you hear it, and it's such a cool moment. So then the Jays, they add another in that inning, which I guess I had forgotten about, on a Addison Barger single, Ernie Clement single, Andres Jimenez sac fly. No memory of this play.
It did happen. It did happen. Which is crazy.
I was here for this.
Because you would have thought that the Kirk homer killed the rally, but the Blue Jays kept on hitting. They go up 4-2. We go to the bottom of the fifth. We have our next Ohtani moment, and this is important because Max Scherzer exits, as you mentioned. There was no way he was going to face Ohtani a third time. So here comes Mason Fluharty. It is his job to get Shohei Ohtani out. He had faced him three times this year. He had struck him out all three times.
I want to talk about Scherzer leaving, because a lot was made of Max Scherzer doing the Jennifer Hudson, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. You know, I'm the best pitcher you've ever known. Last round against the Mariners. This time, Schneider comes out there and Scherzer's just nodding. Like, yes, please get me out of here so I don't have to face Shohei Ohtani again.
Peace.
And Fluharty comes in. And if you're ranking people tonight who did not do their job, I would say Mookie and Fluharty are at the top of that list. Fluharty, number one. He leaves a 3-2 sweeper in the middle of the plate, like backs up, like up and in on Ohtani, and he does the crazy Ohtani thing where he like inside outs the ball at 1,000 miles an hour into the backside gap. That scores a run, an inherited run. Freddie follows it up two batters later with an RBI single that ties the game. And it's 4-4, and we're like, this game rules. This was the moment when you knew it was a classic. Like, you didn't know it was going to be 18 innings. Yeah, you didn't know it was going to be 18 innings until the 18th. You didn't know it was going to be 18 innings until, like, the 13th inning. Anyway, so this moment was when I started getting texts from people like, this is a great game. And I was like, just you wait.
Yeah. Now, I would also say that this is also where we're going to take a break here soon, I think. But I do want to get through the bottom of the sixth. So, obviously, we're going to end up talking about Will Klein a good amount here. But Justin Wroblewski coming in the top of the sixth for the Dodgers. One of the big questions about this Dodgers team, right, because of the situation of the bullpen, we know, of course, with Alex Vesian on the roster, how are they going to bridge it to Trinan and Roki is the real question. And when Glass now kind of leaves early, you're wondering how they're going to get there. We see Bonda. And then Wroblewski comes in the sixth, gets Kirk. Barger's got a single, but he gets Ernie. He gets Jimenez. And then in the bottom of the sixth, Dodgers end up threatening. We have another play where we get a ridiculous thrown out on the bases. I know you love this play. So this is the bottom of the sixth. So why don't you recap this one, and then we'll take a break. So we have Teoscar singles with one out. We have Kike with 2 outs, grounds the ball to the shortstop. And Teoscar, who is, of course, taken off from first base when the ball is hit to the shortstop, he gets a little greedy here. He's like, you know what would be awesome? If I could get to third base.
It's the Jeter play, right, for Jimenez. Like, he's deep into the hole going to his right. And he tries to do the jump throw, and because he's not Derek Jeter, the throw is like way short. And as soon as Teo sees that Jimenez is going to attempt this, he rounds second, heading for third. Vladdy, unbelievable play. He basically comes off the base, meets the ball, not in front of the bag, like not on a direct angle towards third. It was actually like in the baseline between first and second, scoops the ball, transfers it, and throws to third in one motion, lets it absolutely eat. Perfect throw, perfect tag from Ernie Clement to get Teo sliding into third. And this is like, if you love ball, this was your favorite play of the night. I mean, this was good stuff.
Yeah, it really was. And unfortunately, obviously, both teams had a million plays where it was like, that's the one we're going to remember if they win. And obviously, it did not end up working out for Toronto. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we're going to go into the seventh inning where George Springer departs. We'll be right back on Baseball Barbecues.
And we head to the top of the seventh, where on the second swing of the at-bat, George Springer leaves the game. And this all happened, or no, I guess it was the first swing of the top of the seventh.
He takes
a hack.
It was early. It was early in the at-bat, yeah.
And it was early enough in the at-bat that, like, you kind of missed it if you didn't see it. And it was like, what? Excuse me? No, it was the first pitch. He fouled a ball off.
Okay, wow.
And immediately, like, grabbed his oblique. And Schneider comes out with the trainer. And there's not even, like, a conversation, right? You'll often see guys, straight to the tunnel. And, like, obviously George Springer, who fouled the ball off his knee and, like, couldn't walk in the last round, is playing through stuff, right? It's not as if he's not tough or can't handle it. It was the type of thing where, like, oh, this is bad, bad, right? And it's a good reminder, like, you can play through certain stuff. If you're a hitter and your side goes, you're done, right? Like, you're, for the day, like, you can't twist.
Rotate.
And if you can't twist, yeah, you can't swing. And so as he comes off, the crowd goes wild, booing, jeering, because of what Springer represents in the series, which is 2017 Astros cheating. I generally, like, obviously don't boo hurt players. That's bad. This was like, it was like, it's just bad. Don't do it.
I don't know. Again, we already did this discourse last round, so I don't really feel the need to do it again. I don't think we have to over-explain booing or cheering injuries is bad.
I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, in the booing, like, booing a player for an injury is, like, bad. They were already booing him. Like, they were booing him as he fouled the ball off. They were booing him as he walked up to the plate. There was already booing. But don't boo an injured player. So anyway, he leaves, and, like, this is significant down the road because of what it does to the lineup. So the lineup that the Blue Jays start with today, okay, is not the lineup they finish with today. And that is such a huge reason why this game goes 18 innings. We have talked a lot about how good their offense has been. Their offense only got to play like 7-8 innings tonight. Springer leaves, in comes Ty France. Bo Bichette in this inning has a big hit. He, after that, which we'll get to, is replaced by Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Addison Barger is replaced by Miles Straw. And eventually down the road, Alejandro Kirk is replaced by Tyler Heineman. So they're just playing like four bench guys for the equivalent of a full baseball game tonight, right? They're just automatic outs.
It kind of is that simple. There were multiple opportunities where those guys could have done it. And, you know, poor Ty France having to come in this spot, his first at bat in weeks, you know, he was added to the roster and he has to come in and, yep, and, you know, pinch hit and unexpectedly.
He
gets a hit later on in the game. Yeah. So
two hits.
He did his part. But the rest of those guys, I think, had a combined one, maybe zero. It was pretty bleak. And that's a huge part of why this went. Whereas the Dodgers, meanwhile, don't go to their bench until like the 13th inning, which is pretty funny. But anyway, you do mention there, Bo, this is a huge deal because Blake Treinen comes in for Vlad and Bo. Vlad gets a single in a very, like, not a hard hit ball, but just like an incredible piece of hitting. And then Bo gets a single also. And Vlad, because of the ball ricochets off the wall down the right field line in foul territory and like off a cameraman's leg, although I don't think that made that much of a difference, we get Vlad going first to home on this ball. It was unbelievable. And talk about the moment that it felt like was significant. Because this is Vlad scoring from first, it's Vlad being safe. We all night were seeing runners getting thrown out on all different kinds of bases left and right, and you would assume that Vlad in this spot maybe would be the one to get thrown out, but no, he slides in time. The Blue Jays take a 5-4 lead, and that really, for what they had survived up to that point, you know, you still have to get 9 more outs, but that felt like that was the one to me where I was like, oh my God, the Blue Jays, man, they're really going to do this.
I agree. And at that point, the story was like, well, Vlad has been a little quiet in the World Series so far offensively, but here he is winning a game with his glove and his legs, right. Just like we all thought.
Yep. So that was the story. But then this lead does not last long. In comes Sir Anthony Dominguez. Oh, boy. All right. So well, if we're talking
one,
about
one more
just
quick
like
thing here, one more quick thing,
not
here.
Doing your the, job,
like Bo Bichette. Yeah. Bo Bichette also gets his moment. Like, that's...
Sure.
Bo Bichette, like, lining that down the right field line to score Vladdy. If the Blue Jays hang on, the story of the night is these two guys who have been together since the frickin' beginning in 2018, holding hands in the Baseball America photo shoot. One of them driving in the other. One of them is hurt as hell. The slow guy run. Like, it's just beautiful. It's poetic. And then we just like forget. We're like, it's the 80th most interesting thing about the night.
I know, but it's so true. Yeah, and that was an incredible at bat against Treinen. 7-pitch at bat. Yeah. He's fouling balls off, and it's a reminder too. Kind of getting back to the point you just made about like the injury. It's like, yeah, Bo clearly the lower half is not doing great, but he's still Bo Bichette. The brain
hands work.
And the hands are clearly still Bo Bichette, and that was an incredible reminder of that. And like, you're right, Bo did have his moment. And then after that inning, they're cutting to them in the dugout, just like smiling, like, oh man, was that our moment together? But here comes Sir Anthony Dominguez, and he gets Andy Pajes, and then he's facing Ohtani. Now, as we then learn,
I
want to
hop in
Schneider
here.
Was asked about after the game. Yeah, please go ahead.
Oh, did he talk about why they did the visit?
Well, I mean. Yeah, well, but why did you need?
Okay. No, I maybe I'm nitpicking, but I actually do want to talk about this. So I thought Pete Walker, the Blue Jays pitching coach, goes out there for a mound visit. Sir Anthony gets Pajes out, I think, on 6 pitches, maybe 7, and then immediately goes out there to talk to him before he faces Ohtani. That doesn't happen a lot. Like, most mound visits are either the pitcher is struggling or there's a pinch hitter, right? Very rarely do you see guy goes out with nobody on, one out, even if it's like Ohtani on fire. Like, Sir Anthony will have like game planned for Ohtani. He knew he was facing Ohtani. And I just thought it was odd that Walker went out there. Now, maybe he was like, hey, do you want to walk him? Like, do you want to
pitch
to
him? I can read you the Schneider quote. So this is basically being asked about the mound visit and why you're willing to pitch to him in that spot instead of the rest of the game when they intentionally walk him 4 times in the fifth, slightly technically, not intentionally. John Schneider says, yes, mound visit, you know, we're trying to pitch around him. You trust Sir Anthony to make pitches to do that. Sometimes for pitchers, it's hard to do that when you're kind of trying to throw a ball and didn't put it where you want to put it. Tony had a great game. He's a great player. I think after that, you just kind of take the bat out of his hands. So that's, we're going back to people that didn't do their job. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets. That is Sir Anthony Dominguez essentially being told, be careful. And the first pitch could not be more right down the middle. And the ball was over the fence because, of course, it was. And now the game is
but
tied
like,
again. as it will be, as it will be for the next 3 hours.
It is easy to blame Sir Anthony Dominguez here, and I think he deserves a good amount of the blame. However, Alejandro Kirk sets up like kind of down the middle, and he misses the spot. He's trying to go up with the fastball. He's trying to elevate a fastball up in the zone to get him to swing and miss. But like, if you can't like letting him hit. Oh, also, like, here's the other thing, and this is why I'm talking about the mound visit, right? If I tell you, Jordan, don't think of an elephant, what's in your head, dude?
Well, and that's what Schneider is saying. He's kind of admitting it that.
Don't groove one to Ohtani. Like, be careful. If I tell you not to touch the hot plate that comes in the restaurant, you're going to touch it. Like, you're thinking about that. And to me, that's, again, maybe I'm being nitpicky. That's the biggest mistake the Toronto Blue Jays make tonight from a strategic perspective, I think, is like letting that moment build in Sir Anthony's brain. I don't have a problem with pitching to him in that spot necessarily. And I don't have a problem with them walking him every other time that the spot came up.
Yeah, I think that's, well, certainly once we got past after those first couple, it was pretty clear we weren't going to see much from him anymore. But yeah, I mean, for Sir Anthony, it's tough, right? I mean, that's the guy that you traded for. He has had some big moments, and then he's had some, you know, he's the one that allows the grand slam to, and man, it's tough because I'm skipping ahead, but the fact that Brendan Little and Sir Anthony Dominguez end up giving up these two home runs that essentially lose the game for the Blue Jays after they did it in that game against the Mariners is pretty brutal. But anyway, okay, so Ohtani hits another home run. This game is, and now we're settling here in for the stalemate of the century.
But when you wake up in the morning and you're John Schneider, I think, and you're building your pitching plan, the number one thought you have is, I'm probably going to need to pitch to Shohei Ohtani 5 times, right? Ideally, it's 4. Let's plan for 5. Scherzer's getting 2 of those. Who's getting the other 3? And the answer tonight, and probably tomorrow if the game's close, is going to be Fluharty, Dominguez, Hoffman, right? And I think that if I had told you that before the game, you would have said that's the best possible plan. If you're going to pitch to Shohei 5 times, it's going to be Fluharty, Dominguez, Hoffman in some kind of order. That's what they went. That was the right move. And like in games like this, it is easy to look back and nitpick the mistakes that guys make. But like, I don't think Schneider put a foot wrong tonight. Like, it looks bad at the end of it when you have all these empty spots in your order. But you had to pull Bo. You had to pull Springer. And like, I guess you could be like, why did he pull Barger for Miles Straw? But it's like, you're not thinking about 18 innings at the time. And so I look back on this and I'm like, both of these managers did a good job tonight.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that is fair. We go to the eighth and Barger reaches on a Mookie throwing error. And again, if you're thinking we are trying to score as soon as possible again, you put in Miles Straw, who's really fast, as your pinch runner, as a leadoff runner, right? And then they don't end up scoring because Roki comes in and he gets out of it against Nathan Lucas. Bottom of the eighth, Chris Bassett throws a 1-2-3 inning. He's now just suddenly like a high leverage guy.
The Blue Jays not attempting a stolen base tonight was a huge error, I'm now realizing. Like, Are you ready for my thought process on this? I know I just credited John Schneider. The guy's squatting back there for 18 innings. Like, test him once. You think Will Smith's legs are going to pop up fresh in the bottom of in the top of the 13th? Like, there was a moment where IKF got on, and it was like, if IKF's not running here, what is the point of IKF?
I mean, I guess they had been thrown out on the bases multiple times, and maybe you're spooked because of that. I know they weren't stolen bases, but I hear you. I don't know. I mean, I guess in that specific spot, yeah, even maybe more so, right? with Miles Strawpinch running in that spot as the leadoff runner. That might make even more sense. I mean, you're facing a left-hander, so maybe it's a little bit harder to get that to get that done. But anyway, okay. So we go to the top of the ninth, and again, we're gonna have some more runners getting thrown out on the bases. This time, we have a play where.
But we
okay,
get
so Roki's still
got,
on.
This is the Roki inning.
Roki, so he's there in the eighth. He comes in, he gets out of it in the eighth. He comes back out, he gets Vlad to fly out, and then he walks IKF. And at this point, you're like, all right, guys, come on now. Come on, Roki. All right, like I know the command sometimes is going to abandon you, but walking IKF on four pitches, it's just not the move. Varsho singles to, oh, this was a wild play. Oh, my gosh. So Varsho lines one. Freddie Freeman leaps up. It ricochets off his glove. And when that happens, it forces Tommy Edman to basically kind of scamper over there to pick up the ball.
Oh, this play was great.
IKF is like, oh, as soon as I see the ball ricochet off Freeman's glove, like this is probably not going to be in a place that he's going to be able to get to it very quickly. I'm going for third. Because if I can get to third with one out, we're in business here to score a run. Edman, incredible play. Ranges over, and he slides, turns, picks it up, throws it over to third, and that is yet another out on the bases. That was just, oh my gosh, was that massive. And it's going to, you know, go back and look at all the whatever the WPA was and all these different plays, but that one was enormous too. And then, well, we have to talk about the end of this inning before we maybe take one more break, but anything else on that play?
Not a base running mistake. Like this, with one out.
No.
Sending him in the spot to try and get him to third is like totally legitimate. The other thing is, if this ball doesn't touch Freddie's glove, game, I mean, that's, he's scoring. Like that ball goes into the corner.
Oh, yeah, it's a double easily. Yeah, for sure.
He's scoring.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. And again, you know, not all toot plans are the same. When you are thrown out on the bases like a nincompoop, sometimes you just end up looking like a nincompoop. Sometimes it was nincompoop behavior to have decided to run, but as far as I'm concerned, a toot plan is a toot plan, and he was looking. It was not a great look there. So anyway, so now Roki's still on there. He walks Kirk. Now Varsho's in scoring position, and we get the matchup that seemed truly impossible. This is we joked about it coming into the series, and yet there was like, why would they ever be facing each other? And that is Miles Straw against Roki Sasaki. Basically, the reason that Miles Straw is on the Blue Jays is because they took on his contract from Cleveland in order to get more international bonus money so that they could give to Roki Sasaki. They obviously did not give that to Roki Sasaki because he is on the Dodgers. So Miles Straw is just like this weird connection. He has had a reasonably productive season for the Blue Jays. Credit to him for that. However, once he's in this game, batting in important spots all the time, it was an enormous weakness for Toronto for the remainder of this game. And he grounds out to end this inning. And that just was like the beginning of many, many bad at-bats for Miles Straw.
Very unfortunate. Okay, one more break, and then we'll do extras. Welcome back to Baseball Buddy. I guess. One notable thing happens at the bottom of the ninth. Jordan Schusterman, what is that?
So we have our first Ohtani intentional walk. And then we're facing Jeff Hoffman. Okay, so they just put him on with one out, nobody on. They said, all right, we're done pitching to you. And I remember thinking, I know Shohei hasn't been running as much recently. I think he's going to go, right? I mean, he's a fast dude. Like, you might as well try it.
He looked fidgety. They picked over right away. And Hoffman takes a while to get to the plate. And it made a lot of sense. And he goes, and Alejandro Kirk, who is he's so great. Like, what a player he is. Just shuts him down. Just laser beam to second. Perfect throw. Ohtani, his foot pops.
Yeah,
Ohtani beats it, but the throw, even still with Hoffman going slow to the plate, was just amazing.
Two things on Ohtani's stolen base attempt. The first thing is that another thing, again, deja vu from last time, is that was when he injured himself, was trying to steal at the end of game one or two, I forget, think it was game two last year, where he was trying to steal and he gets injured. The other thing is, like, I can't even picture Ohtani sliding headfirst. Has he ever done that?
Should he ever know?
No, but like, I literally can't even envision it. Has he ever? He's stolen a lot of bases. He's usually always just there easily because he's so fast. And again, I'm not saying he should have done that here, but it's just a funny thing where like anyone else that's stealing there is obviously going in first.
Yeah.
But not Shohei. He has other things to worry about. Anyway, okay, so that's like,
he's got
here we go again.
Today.
Another guy thrown out on the bases. Mookie flies out. Here we go to extra innings. Here comes Emmett Sheehan. Now we have another massive moment. Get ready, folks. If you think we're done with guys getting thrown out, here we go. Two quick outs for Emmett Sheehan. Ty France lines a single. Shout out Ty France. And we go to the bench again. Ty France is very, very slow. Very slow. Okay? Ty France, God bless him, hell of a hitter, very slow. And so John Schneider running out of guys to run with, but he pinch runs Davis Schneider, who is absolutely faster than Ty France. And I think like average sprint speed according to StatCast, but not that fast, right?
Yeah.
Here comes Nathan Lucas, and Nathan Lucas lines a ball down the right field line. And Davis Schneider, you're going, buddy. This is what you're in there for, because Ty France would have no chance to score on this ball. Davis Schneider had a chance, but a perfect relay from Teoscar to Tommy Edman to Will Smith gets Davis Schneider for the third out, and we go to the bottom of the 10th.
This play was amazing, and it brings up a play from earlier in the game that we glossed over, which was Teo just totally screwing up a play in right field. I believe this was the fourth run that the Jays scored, where the bow play? There was
no. We talked about it. I'm gonna forgive you because it's late. We talked about it.
Sorry.
I mentioned it.
We talked about it. It was the bow play.
It's okay.
It was the bow play.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And like Teo just like was in La La Land and didn't get it in, and then he makes up for his mistake as Teo so often does. Mm-hmm. Perfect relay. Schneider is just clearly out, not even close. But like, this is a great reminder of how, you know, this is how speed works. Miles Straw is safe, right?
Yep.
Ty France is not even being waved home in this situation. And Davis Schneider was just fast enough to get thrown out at home.
Oh, man. No, that's a great way to put it. And right, like, maybe if you would save Straw instead of putting him in earlier, maybe he's the one running. Whatever. There's 100 different versions of that. Okay, so we go to the bottom of the 10th. Now I think we can kind of put it into cruise control here, right? Like, we can start kind of zooming along. We get another Ohtani intentional walk, and Mookie gets a single, but then Freddie flies out, so that doesn't matter. Like, what is the next key moment of the game? I guess. I know what it is. It's in the 12th.
12th.
Yeah, it's
the top of the 12th.
It's the 12th. Yep.
Okay. So we go Kirk walk, pinch runner. In comes Tyler Heineman. Backup catcher. Has not played in the playoffs or has not played at all very much.
He got in like once in a blowout. Yeah. Has barely played.
He's not started a game. Miles Straw pops up a bunt. Miles Straw, come on, man. That's like needy here. Ugh, not great. Then you get in 4-3, Ernie Clement, two down, guy on first. Andrés Giménez intentional walk. Huh?
So this is because we have Emmett Sheehan on the mound facing Davis Schneider. They basically decide with the base open with Tyler Heineman on second, they would rather have Sheehan face Davis Schneider than pitch to Andrés Giménez with a runner in scoring position. So that's the decision there. But it is a pretty risky decision because after Davis Schneider is Nathan Lucas, who is a better hitter and a left-handed hitter. And Davis Schneider hits essentially a swinging bunt to load the bases. And oh my God, Jake, who comes in this baseball game? But Clayton Kershaw.
Well, Jordan. Clayton Kershaw, yes, but the swinging bunt was one of the weirder plays of the night. Max Muncy tries to field the ball on third base. Tyler Heineman is running from second to third, and Muncy is basically pretending like he's a first baseman stretching for the force play. And on the field, they call him out. They call him out on the field. And it's like, wow, what a heads up play by Muncy. Like, amazing. They overturn it. And then only once they overturn it, the inning stays alive. And in comes Kershaw, which adds to the drama.
And oh my God, right? I mean, he had been warming earlier, I think even in regulation, as they call it. And we were like, is this really going to happen? He comes in.
There was an element of it that felt like, yeah, Clayton, you get your work in over there, buddy. Yeah, you're pitching in the playoffs.
And instead, we get this definitive battle. And one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, which is, he gets in this lengthy battle with Nathan Lucas. It gets to a full count. Lucas fouls off a few pitches. It's a full count. And again, the bases are loaded. Like, he cannot walk in a run here. And Clayton Kershaw throws a ball out of the zone. But it is the slider that is the reason he's going to the Hall of Fame. And Nathan Lucas cannot resist. And he chases it. And he grounds out to second base. And Nathan Lucas slams his helmet down, and that's sums it up for the Blue Jays for all the innings before and all the innings after.
He threw three pitches out of the zone. He threw three pitches out of the zone. Nathan Lucas fouled a slider down below the zone. He fouled a fastball up above the zone at 91.9, and then he chased the slider that ends the frame that's like down and away.
Unbelievable.
And like, I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
One of the loudest, it was definitely the loudest out of the night, right? Obviously,
yeah.
You had the home runs, but I think it was absolutely the, and I will say too, right? Like, Kershaw's got his, you know, We Are Young walk up. Like, talk about a moment where you're just like, how did we get here? Like, oh my God, what is just him warming up and just
and
like his first ever appearance
history.
In extra innings in his career? Yeah.
Sure.
Oh my God.
You have the history of him coming into these games, man. Like, Clayton Kershaw's legacy for so many years was dominant in the regular season, can't get it done in the postseason because the Dodgers would just go back to him and go back to him and go back to him, and he would stumble and stumble because he couldn't carry all that weight. And then for his last outing of his career, probably to be a relief appearance in a playoff game.
It could be his last outing. That is true. That could be. That absolutely could be. Okay, so we go to the bottom of the 12th, and now we have to introduce some more main characters, hilariously. Eric Lauer, and then eventually Will Klein. Now, before we get to Will Klein, we have Edgardo Henriquez. Edgardo Henriquez and Will Klein are these two guys essentially at the bottom of the Dodgers roster who have outrageous stuff and like very, very, very below average command. Obviously, at least one of them would be on the roster anyway, probably. But one of them is on the roster because we know Alex Vesia is unavailable right now. So they're both in there, that they both had to pitch is amazing. Henriquez comes in, gets Vlad out, and gets through the rest of this, gets through. He hits Varsho with a pitch, but he's throwing 102 and he gets through it easily. Tommy Edman leads off with a double to start the 13th, facing Eric Lauer. But then here comes Miguel Rojas. This is the first use of the bench for Dave Roberts all night, is in the bottom of the 13th. Miggy Rowe, sack bunt, Tommy Edman to third. All they need to do is drive in the runner at third with one out. Here comes Alex Call, who they trust to do that instead of Andy Pages. And he pops out, which sets up yet another intentional walk to Otani and another intentional walk to Mookie Betts. That was a very interesting decision because that loaded the bases on purpose for Freddie Freeman. And we hate loading the bases on purpose in basically any situation. You could sort of understand the matchup. You'd rather face Freeman with the lefty instead of Mookie. I didn't love it. You maybe liked it more. I thought it was funny because it was like Schneider was like, what? Is Freddie Freeman going to hit another walk-off grand slam in the World Series? And he almost did. He almost did. No, I'm not talking about later. I'm talking about in this one. Because in this at-bat, he crushes in a 1-0 fastball, and it almost gets out 379 feet, but Varsho tracks it down, and we go to the 14th inning, where I believe who's still in? Is this still Enriquez? So we get another inning from Enriquez. We go to the bottom of the 14th. We get another inning from Lauer. We're just cruising along here, and here comes Will Klein in the 15th. Will Klein has never thrown more than, I think, Will Klein has never thrown more than 30 pitches in, as a professional, or I think maybe 50 in his first pro season in 2021. This dude's a one-inning reliever who throws really hard. He's got good stuff, but he doesn't have good command. And there's really no reason that you would ever have to think that he would. Now, this is a guy that had some prospect pedigree because he threw hard. He was in the Futures game, whatever. He's bounced around a few different teams. He was a Royals draft pick. He was with the Mariners early this year. And the Mariners, the Dodgers traded for him from the Mariners. This is a Jerry DePoto trade. So there you go. Trader Jerry still making an impact here in the World Series. And Will Klein just comes in and throws, what is it, like 70 pitches, I think? I mean, I'm jumping to the end here. But he had never thrown more than I think 50 as a pro, and he ends up throwing 72 pitches. Oh my goodness. And essentially slightly does better than Eric Lauer, although it wasn't Eric Lauer's fault because he ultimately ends up leaving for Brendan Little. But we cruise through the 16th, the 15th, 16th, and 17th with basically no base runners. I think until we get to the bottom of the 17th, Brendan Little comes in, Tommy Edman strikes out, Rojas ground out, Alex Call single. Otani not intentionally walked, but walks again, and then Mookie.
Well, I want to talk about this moment. I want to talk about this moment because after the first intentional walk, so I'm in the main press box tonight. Jordan was in the aux box down the left field line. We're switching tomorrow. For every intentional walk, I grab my binoculars and I'm watching Schneider, like during it, to just see how he's calling it. And every time it was funnier and funnier, like. He would throw up the four and then he'd like flash it. He'd be like, throw the four up. And then like after a while, I think for the third one, the ump started asking. So like you would see the home plate umpire like turn to Schneider, hold up the four and like shrug. And then Schneider would like nod or he'd throw it up. And so for this one, the ump basically looks and goes four and Schneider just kind of goes. And you see
we're doing this.
Brendan Little.
It was Little.
Yep. And Little like looks towards Schneider. And Schneider's got his arms crossed on the top step. And he looks at Little and he just nods his head. Like, yes, you got him. And Little toes the slab. No mound visit. No mound visit. He just believed in his guy. And what did Brendan Little do? He walked Otani on four pitches.
The old fashioned way. He actually threw four balls instead of just going like this.
It was so funny. You know, like we're all exhausted. We're in the press box next to the Steph Apstein and Chelsea Janes, and you know, we're realizing like, oh my God, whatever Otani does here, it's gonna be incredible. He's either gonna get out and he got out, or he's gonna end the game, and that's amazing. And then one of us realizes like, or he could just walk regular. It's like, oh, right, that's a lot.
So his fifth and final walk of the night after going 4-for-4 with four extra base hits, the second player ever to have four extra base hits in a World Series game, first one in over 100 years. Anyway, Mookie pops out, and we go to the 18th inning, and Will Klein just gets back to work, works around a couple walks, strikes out Tyler Heineman, and we go to the bottom of the 18th where Brendan Little remains on the mound. And here comes Freddie Freeman, and it's time to go to bed, friends. As Freddie works himself into a 3-1 count, he takes a 3-1 fastball. I mean, it was up, but it was a pretty juicy 3-1 fastball. Takes it. But that next pitch was a little bit lower. And my goodness, does Freddie Freeman not miss. And again, he came very close to ending the game earlier on multiple occasions, I believe. But here he is. He was like, oh, man, you know what was fun when I hit a walk-off home run in the World Series? I'm going to do that again. And the Brendan Little sinker did not sink quite enough. And there it goes. There it goes. Over the center field wall. Dalton Varsho could not catch this one, folks. And the game was over 6-5. The final score, the teams combined for 31 hits. The game lasted, let's see, 6 hours and 39 minutes in front of 52,654.
Thank God for the pitch clock.
And thank God for the pitch clock. And that's it, which means Shohei Ohtani has to go to sleep after reaching base 9 times because this dude has to pitch tomorrow. This dude gets to pitch tomorrow. This dude will take, by the way, another thing we skipped over, Yoshinobu Yamamoto warming up, Shane Bieber stretching, getting ready, our starters for game 4 getting ready, or Yamamoto, sorry, he's not the starter for game 4. Yamamoto just threw a complete game 2 days ago. He was getting ready to come in after Will Klein. Bieber, of course, is going to start game 4. He would have come in, I guess, after Brendan Little, and then they would have figured it out if they won the game. And instead, we now set up in a game that starts pretty soon, Shohei Ohtani, who clearly is going to have to find his sleep, and then how do I talk about him? I don't really know what to do at this point. I'm just excited that I get to watch it. And Shane Bieber is going to be asked to do a lot because everybody's going to be tired, and the bullpen is obviously not in a great spot. A lot of them pitched, I guess, reasonably well, but some of their big ones really didn't. Even Jeff Hoffman threw a ton of pitches. And they have to play again the day after that, too. So this game, while I totally understand yes. John Schneider with the great quote saying that the Dodgers did not win the World Series tonight, they won a game. That's a great quote, and that's a great mindset. I totally get it. But it's hard not to wonder the repercussions that this game is going to have for the rest of the series for extremely obvious reasons, not just on them, but on us. Not that it's about us, but how are we going to, you know, bounce back from this? I don't know. I don't have the resiliency that these major leaguers do.
I do. It was funny, dude. Like, I got tired. Like, I was tired. Like, I am tired. I mean, I'm not, let me be clear, not complaining. But the second that, like, Freddie goes yard, and then I just felt this adrenaline rush, and I was just like, oh, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. Let's ride, you know? And so, like, right now, I'm ready to rock. I definitely feel like a little cold coming on. But, you know, we'll bounce up tomorrow. We'll have some OJ and get the vitamin C in, and we'll do it all over again. Two things I'd like to add. One, the Dodgers won this game before. In 2018, when Max Muncy hit the walk-off home run to end that 18-inning game, Dodgers did not win another game the rest of the series. That was their only win. The Red Sox won that, right? 4-1. And I do think that is a reminder of what Schneider is saying, that, like, both teams had to play this game. It is equally draining on both teams. And I don't think that either the Dodgers or the Blue Jays wake up tomorrow at more or less of a disadvantage than the other. If anything, not to doubt Shohei Ohtani, if anything, I would say that the Blue Jays have a very small advantage that their pitcher for tomorrow didn't have to freaking play a baseball game today. You know? So I just think that's something to keep in mind.
Didn't have to spend the night running around the bases.
Like, that's important. And then the other thing I'll say is a little vignette that I'll remember from the end of this game. So Yamamoto's in the bullpen, right? And he's down there with his translator, Hiro. And when the walk-off happens, Ohtani and Roki run, like, after they're mobbing at home, run to the outfield and they meet Yamamoto, like, halfway. Like, probably 20 yards into the outfield grass. And like, Will Ireton and Ohtani's interpreter runs out there, too. And the five of them are just jumping up and down in this little pile. And it's Roki, Yamamoto, Ohtani, and their interpreters. And, like, not this, like, they, it was complete, just all alone. And the rest of the team's at home plate. And that's, like, a moment I'll remember. It was Ohtani running out there to Yamamoto. Like, that was super.
And here's
cool.
The thing. Here's the thing, because the only reason Yamamoto's out there is because they don't want Ohtani to pitch tonight, right? That's what
under
that,
any circumstances.
His willingness to do that tonight. Is because, as we know, Bieber was getting ready, the next day starter for Toronto, because that's just kind of what you end up doing. And we've seen this a couple times in history where it's like, damn, we got to go to the tomorrow's starter because that's we got to win this game. And so people started wondering, are we going to see Shohei tonight? And I think Yamamoto was like, no, we're not. You're going to see me on 1 day rest after throwing a complete game. We know it doesn't get there.
Amazing.
But to me, I won't speak for Shohei there, but to me, that's what that moment signifies as much as anything. But that is amazing. I didn't see that until you told me about it. That's really, really, really cool. So thank you for sharing that. Now, here's the other thing. There's like 100 other things that probably happened in this game that we didn't talk about, so apologies. But we have to go to bed. And our
position player pitching thing.
Yeah.
Where yeah. Dave Roberts was like, we're going to do this. And then didn't like, there's a million other things. Maybe in the off season, we draft our favorite moments from this game. That's a great, like December 9th episode or something. But until then, let's call it. It is 4:44 local time for our beloved producers, Ingrid Rosas and Andrew Hartz, who we appreciate so dearly for staying up on the East Coast. We appreciate you folks for listening. We appreciate one another. I think Jordan and I, we're talking about it today. We take a lot of pride that like we are the only people that are writing and recording after these games. This is just us. And it's hard and we're freaking wiped and it's a grind, but we love it and we feel blessed and fortunate that we get to do it. And we hope that doing both of those things provides a unique and worthwhile perspective. So if you like the podcast, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your acquaintances, because we really love doing it.
Thank you all for listening. The plan right now is you will hear from us next after game 5. So just keep that in mind. But until then, thank you all so much. You can email us, baseballovercast@gmail.com. Again, thank you to our awesome producers, Andrew Hartz and Ingrid Rosas. I'll double thank them because they deserve it. We will talk to you all very soon. Bye.